Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, there's something that gets on a pastor's heart continually, but especially on Sunday. Yes, on Wednesday night too, whenever God's people get together. But there's something that especially on Sunday comes. It's a deep thought to me. It's a fascinating thought, and it's exactly what we're going to be looking at today. But anything and everything that takes place in this building this morning that has any eternal value has to be supernatural. It's not just us coming in, standing up, sitting down, singing a song, giving a dollar. It's not that. It's incredibly so much more. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, made some great statements, gave challenge, taught much, and toward the end of the letter, there were short statements that he made that were on purpose. There was no mistaking what the message was. Look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice evermore. Can you imagine writing that from San Quentin? Can you imagine writing that from a prison cell? All the cursing, all the shoving, all the disgusting things that would take place. And here's Paul. Not saying I have to write this, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and how the Lord had dealt with him, that's what he wrote. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Boy, that verse is a challenge. I love it. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Those are great things. But this is what we're going to focus on this morning. Please, if you would, set everything else aside in your mind. Because what I want this morning, what God desires, is only what God can do, only what the Holy Spirit can do. And in fact, the Holy Spirit has everything to do with what is going to be said this morning. Please look at verse 19. Four words, quench not the Spirit. Now, listen carefully to that. This is for believers. This is not for the unsaved. They need to be saved, but for the Christian. Four words, quench not the Spirit. You know what you have there? In four words, you have a command to obey and a power to acknowledge. In just four simple words, a command to obey and a power to acknowledge. Now, already, in fact, it started before you got here. Yesterday is gone. Yesterday is in the books, as it were, in heaven. But today is still being written, and the fact of the matter is, even as we read this verse, the contest is going on. The challenge is there. Quench not the Spirit. This alludes to what we looked at a few weeks ago. You look at this verse, and my thoughts go back to Proverbs. Buy the truth and sell it not. When it comes to what is being said right here, hey, buy the truth and sell it not. Let's get a little explanation in here. To quench means to extinguish a fire that has already been burning. To quench something, you've done something, you're bringing to cease something that was already taking place. The object acted upon has the power to do what is being done. In this case, it is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, remember, we're talking about the third person in the Trinity, which I hope and pray brings heaven a little closer to your mind in here, in this building, as you look in your word. Quench not the Spirit. In other words, what we're talking about is stopping something that is of the Spirit's character. Think about it. When I say the Spirit's fire, that's the title of the message. When I say the Spirit's fire, I'm referring to the state of the heart, your heart, my heart. The state of the heart and mind in the believer, the Holy Spirit brings. When he comes, this is his character. This is what he does. When that heart, your heart, my heart, when that heart and mind are separated from sin, dead to self, and alive unto God, that's the place the Spirit thrives. It's not I, but Christ. Are you listening? Hello? And so with this fact, the fact that the Holy Spirit brings a character, it is who he is. When we trusted Christ as Savior, when I was saved January 14th, 1967, at 13 years of age, the Holy Spirit came into me, and he came in not trying to decide what to do. He came in with what he does. And there has been, by God's grace, growth ever since. Can I first of all, I want to encourage you in something. There's something that I would like for you often to stop and think about. And I do the same thing. I have to, because it encourages me. Because I don't know about you. I'm sure he does. But there is a wicked one out there that's working. How many of you have found yourself working against the devil himself or one of his minions this last week? I mean, my soul, if you're going forward, guess what? There is a culture that he created that's going the opposite direction. You're going against the flow. You're going against what this world is heading to. People have said, we can't believe it. While so many other places in the world are saying, we're tired of socialism, America is going, that's what we want, or some of the people in it. The fact of the matter is, in this world, there are a lot of people, no matter what their political bent is, culturally, they're embracing sin. That's what they want. The Holy Spirit is saying, no, we're going another direction. That's why you have dealt with what you've dealt with. Quench not the Spirit. Can I encourage you again? You've got to remind yourself of what's going on in you. This absolutely has become one of my favorite verses. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? No matter what you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you can be cognizant in this. You are being worked on from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is seeking to take the word that you have, desiring for you to do more, and building in you, me, an individual that exalts Christ and lives by his Spirit. Which brings us to Ephesians 2:10. We use Ephesians 2:8 and 9. When we give the gospel, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then Paul goes on to say this, for we are his what? Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So be confident. He is doing this work. We are his workmanship. And then he says in Hebrews 7:25, oh, I love this. Wherefore he is able also to save them, that's you and me, to the uttermost, that come unto God by him, listen to this, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Do you realize that the work of Jesus Christ, the work of God's Son, according to his word, his work is praying for you? You believe it? We don't believe it enough, do we? Honestly, I see this, and I think, Lord, help me to see it in 3D. By your grace, help me to see it. I can be confident that he's working. I am his workmanship. And I might feel like I'm failing. But he is praying. He is interceding. Prayer is the principal thing. He's not only taking us from the uttermost, but unto the uttermost. When I get to feeling down, I remind myself of this, and then I take myself to my mom's life verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Why? Say it with me. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I am so glad that the Lord directed you to hear this morning. But can I encourage you in being here? Understand that you're here on purpose. And that if you are a believer, if you've trusted Christ as Savior, understand this, that all the growth, all the Christ-likeness, and by the way, with everything that's going on in the world today, you think the world needs some people that have a Christ-likeness? I mean, there's so many places. Exactly. Let's be convinced of it. Let's not quench the Spirit. That's exactly what the Spirit is seeking to do. All the growth, all the Christ-likeness, all the peace, all the resting in him, all the boldness, all the blessing of others, all that's what he's seeking. Let me ask you. Would you agree that the following verse speaks the desire of our God? All right, the following verse, listen up. It's found in Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with how much? All your heart. Now, would you say that that's God's will? I want to show you something, if I could, please. Would you say that's God's will? If you believe it's God's will, say amen. That means every person here, it is the will of the God of heaven, creator of the universe, our God and Savior, that we seek him with all our heart. Now, I think about that, and I'll tell you what, I've been meditating on this. This has been part and parcel of this last week, and it brings conviction. In fact, it made me think of what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and, yes, the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. Now, if that is true, and it is true, it is God's desire that we seek him. Have you ever tried to say seek and search at the same time? If that is true, then we understand the challenge, because the fact of the matter is there's something inside of you, because it's inside of me, that says, just a little part that says, but I don't want to sacrifice like that. And you know what I just did when I'm thinking that and I start taking that and start meditating on it? I'm quenching the Spirit. Now, here is our challenge this morning. What we need to do is we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19. And we need to say, okay, if that command is given, quench not the Spirit. If that command is given, if there is something that I am told to do, and there is a power that I must recognize that I need to deal with, then you know something? I need to just decide if I'm going to search for him. if I really am going to live what I ought to live. I don't know about you, but there is a pull on me from this world that just goes on and on and on. There's details that take place. There's stuff that's like, you know, this happens and that takes place and, oh, wow, look at that situation over there. And then, oh, look at the situation with me here. And Lord, I know there's people that need to be saved, but Lord, I can't do it. Oh, Lord, I need your power. But then Satan comes in and he starts whispering in the ear, you'll never have his power. You're not worthy of it. And he's right. I'm not worthy of it, and neither are you. But he didn't die for us because we were worthy. While we were yet what? Christ died for us. He didn't come because God so loved the world. And so it's the same thing with this. He says, listen, Rogers, listen, people of Faith Baptist, you're going to know me, you're going to know the peace that passes all understanding, the power, you're going to know you will fulfill my will in you, in this life, and know if you search for me with all your heart. And in doing so, this is something that you need to hear. Quench not the Spirit. Don't get in the way of the Holy Spirit. Don't douse him. Don't doubt him. Let's begin here. Our Lord has a faithful fire. He is a faithful fire. Our God is so faithful. Go to Romans chapter 8, would you? I just read this last week in my personal devotions. I tell you, I wish I could have watched Paul when he wrote the book of Romans. Look at verse 31. After everything he has talked about, all the blessing, all the power, all the promises, everything, he says this in verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, what? Who can? Who can? Name me a lawyer. Name me a millionaire, a billionaire. Name me anybody. Name me a politician. Can you serve God as he sees fit if he calls you to it? Can we do this? Yes. The fact of the matter is, we can. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know what he's saying? Keep the fire going. Keep the fire going. There's a verse in Leviticus. You need not turn to it. But in speaking, this is what Moses gave to Israel. In speaking about the fire of the sacrifice, in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13, the Lord said this to Moses, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Can I ask you something? Has the fire ever gone out in your heart? Now, I know we can get into discussion about that. Well, no, it's never been completely out. Okay. But has the fire ever suffered? How many of you would have to say and raise your hand with me saying, you know what, there's been times I'm quenching it. I'm quenching it. Does that concern us? I hope and pray that it does, but it doesn't have to happen anymore. It doesn't have to happen. You know, Paul wrote a young man by the name of Timothy. Timothy was having a tough time. He was timid. He was fearful. He knew the Lord had called him to ministry. And his father in the faith, Paul, wrote him this, 2 Timothy 1:6, alluding back to just what we read in Leviticus. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up, literally kindle up, stir the fire to cause it to burn, stir up the gift of God which is envy, by the putting on of my hands. Get it burning again. You ever hear people, you know, we had Brother Tim Schmidt with us. It was great to hear about what God is doing in different places, isn't it? It's great to hear what God is doing in different places in the world. But the fact of the matter is, my heart is here. Our heart is here. Hey, how many of you would enjoy seeing the gift of God stirred up a little bit right here? Say amen. Absolutely. Problem when we get to thinking, yeah, but Lord, no. There's a creature we've got to stomp out. How many of you like skunks? Okay, don't ever. You like skunks? Brother Jack, I got to talk to you, man. Yeah, we got to talk to your husband. I'll tell you what. I don't like skunks. Now I like dogs. Well, we were out of visitation yesterday, saw a beautiful German Shepherd. Good stuff. And by the way, we don't eat dog here. We might not feel all that sad for a cat, but we eat dog. You know, we don't eat dog. But you know, I don't like skunks. I am going to get to heaven, and if he gives opportunity, I am going to ask the Lord why he created these minute little spiders that make webs all over our wall. There's 7 trillion of them out there right now. And we knock them out, and their relatives come up and decide they're going to go ahead and live here anyway. I don't know, you know, why these? But there is one creature we have got to absolutely destroy. It's a yabbit. Yabbits get into churches, and they start crawling into people's minds. And so people start going, well, yeah, I and there it is. Can we just determine we're going to get rid of yabbits? Yeah, but Lord, yabbits. How many, raise your right hand. I will do everything I can to destroy every yabbit that comes crawling into my heart and mind. Come on. There you go, John. Lead the way. Keep the fire going. Quench not the spirit. We're talking about our hearts. We're talking about this is what we live by. We live by the grace of God, and it's the Holy Spirit that operates these things in our hearts and in our minds. The Holy Spirit desires to bring in you the word where he builds us. Don't bring in a yabbit. Don't bring in a yabbit. They're ugly critters anyway. He's got a faithful fire. But you know something? Sometimes there's our foolish sin. You are in the book of Romans. You might still be there. Go a few chapters over to Romans 15. Now, even here, we're given the sure mercies of God. I praise God for what he does. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, our doctrine, our teaching, that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Go over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. I'm reading these for a reason. 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. That Greek word there that translates ensamples literally means a pattern, a stamp that goes into the mind. So you stop and think as you read, and he's talking about the Old Testament. As you read it, it's putting something in your mind. There is a teaching, there's a doctrine, there's an example you're seeing, I'm seeing. When you look at this and it's like, okay, the Lord can only put so much in the Bible. There's a reason why the story is there. Let's continue with that verse. And they are written for our admonition. Literally, a calling attention to as you read the stories. Hey, did you see that? Now, did you see what David did? Did you hear what Joseph said? Did you understand why Moses did what he did? You heard me tell him this. Do you see why he did that? You see the kings of Israel over here. Now look at the ones about Judah. Now look what Nehemiah did when it came to the wall. Yeah, you see that? Now listen to what Amos said. These things are written for our admonition. A situation where we need to call attention to upon whom the ends of the world are come. And then he says in verse 12, wherefore, you see what I just wrote? Okay, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Okay, there's a reason. I'm reading what I'm reading. And there's a reason why we're going to read what we read now. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges. We talked about his fire. But then there's our foolish sin. Look at look at chapter 16. Chapter 16. Joshua Judges. I'm catching this story toward the end. And there is a message for Faith Baptist here. We have the word. We understand, quench not the spirit. Now watch this. Samson has been quite a judge. And he's quite a ladies' man. And he's come across a lady by the name of Delilah. Look at verse 18. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in her hand, in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him and say, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. To me, this is absolutely one of the saddest phrases in the entire Bible. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Now, I know some might go immediately and say, well, that doesn't happen in the New Testament. No, we can't. The Holy Spirit isn't taken from us. But the power of the Holy Spirit, like Samson, goes. And he wished not the Holy Spirit had departed from him. Can I ask you a question? I was going to save this to the end, but I'm going to go ahead and give it now. I want to ask you a question. What if Jesus Christ himself, and again, I'm getting on shaky ground because immediately people go, well, that's just not going to happen. I understand that. But in your heart of hearts, what if the Lord Jesus Christ came, used your name, the very same way that maybe he could come here and speak to all of us and say, listen, you have been operating, you have been living your life as if I'm there, my power is there. And I'm telling you right now, there is sin, there has been a quenching. And you're not living by my power. You think you are, but you're not. And you won't be until you get this right. How many of you would be terrified? I don't know about you, but if I get to thinking, if I don't have God's guidance, if I don't have his power, oh my soul. If I didn't have the power of God, you're listening to a man. You want to be listening to the Lord, don't you? I want to be preaching in the power of the Spirit. You want to be listening in the power of the Spirit. There's too much at stake. There's a dozen young men in a cave. Oh, I get to thinking about, I get the heebie-jeebies about that anyway. You know, I'm kind of claustrophobic at times. When I think about being trapped in a cave, man, get out of my way, because I am ripping ground. I'm tearing rock out the wall. But just stop and think about it. Billions of people going to hell. People that need the gospel. We have been called. We've got a Jerusalem. Let's get excited about that. You know, it's great to, you know, it's great to go out and speak to people. You know, even this last week. Oh, how it's needed. What about people where you live? Talking to neighbors. Boy, that's good stuff. Praying that this next week, God gives souls. You're in Judges. Go back just a couple of chapters. We're going to finish this really quick, I think. I want you to notice just a few things, and please, we're going to go. In Judges 13, I tried to, and I didn't get the picture in time to Ed. We've got pictures of this place. We were actually there in Israel, the mount where Samson and his family lived. And there we also have a picture where his mother met the angel. And she said, you're going to have this son. He's going to be a Nazarite. Look at verse 5. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. He was called. We have a calling as well. If the Lord has saved you, the Lord has set you aside to serve as well. So Samson had past blessing. He also, excuse me, had past power. In Judges 14, verse 5, then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath, came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Note that. That says there, the Spirit of the Lord came on him. He rent that lion, says like he was a kid, like a little sheep. It was nothing for him. Excuse me. I'm sorry. In chapter 14, he made a riddle with these that were going to be his distant in-laws. He made a riddle about what was in the lion. And instead of winning, they went to his fiancée and said, look, you got to tell us what's going on. She got to him. He told her. She told them. And he makes an interesting observation about his wife. Verse 18. The men of the city said unto him on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. Ladies, if your spouse, if your husband ever says that about you, about the heifer, no, smack him. But look at verse 19. Spirit of the Lord came upon him again, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men. So the Spirit came, the Spirit came. Chapter 15, we're not going to get into it. He burned the fields. Chapter 15, verse 7, there was a slaughter of the Philistines. And then later on, he escaped from ropes. His kindred had come and said, look, they're causing us grief. He says, you just don't kill me. He came, look at verse 14, Judges 15. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily on him. The cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burned with fire. Loose from his hands, he killed 1,000 of them. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, but something happened. And this is what I want you to see. You know, we can get used to having the Lord use us. There have been times when the Lord comes and it's like, wow, praise God, this is great. And we get to thinking ever so subtly, it's because of me. No, it's not. There is nothing that can be done in this building by Mike Rogers that has eternal value. There's nothing that can be done by you. We need the Spirit of God. Amen? But if we get used to things, and we can, if we come into a service and, well, this is just what we do, and we don't come in with a prepared heart, with an expecting heart, looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, if we're not coming in with that, we're settling down into same old, and we can come to a time where we wish not that the Spirit of the Lord has departed. I get to thinking about this. Is it possible for us to have a service, maybe where people even get excited, maybe even where the altar is full? Is it possible to have a service like that? The Holy Spirit is nowhere to be found. The answer is yes. Do you think we need God? Is it possible that you're looking down the road and you're thinking, you know what? I see some things, and it's not the preacher that I need. It's not friends that I need. It's the Holy Spirit that I need. It is God Himself that I need. That's why we bring these four simple words: quench not the Spirit. We'll say, you know what, folks? We need to start listening. We need to start confessing some sin. We need to start asking our God, Lord, is there anything in my life where I am holding you back with the need that is today? You see, there was a carelessness, a present carelessness that came to him. He went into a harlot. This is a man of God. He went into a harlot, rose at midnight in Judges 16, and he carried the gate of the city off. And then he came, and he met this woman, Delilah. She starts getting after him. What's the secret of your power? What's the secret of your power? She didn't love him. She was there, she was using him, and the fact of the matter is, he was using her somewhat too. His heart had gone wicked here. And at first he says, well, you know, if you take strings, if you tie me up, hey, no, it didn't work there. Hey, how about new ropes? Hey, you tie me up with new ropes, I'll be as weak as any other man. No, it didn't happen there. But then he mentioned his hair. Look at Judges chapter 16, if you would please. Look at verse 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my what? Head. He's gotten close, hasn't he? You know, Satan does that. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. He's patient. If thou weave the seven locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin and the beam and with the web. Can you imagine a guy with a 20-foot, 6x12 hanging from his head and his hair, walking around going, all right, who's going to be the first one to take me on? I wouldn't mess with the guy. So she does what sometimes man in sin winds up facing. He comes up across a wicked woman that just keeps wearing away on him because the wicked one loves to defeat God's people like that. He just keeps going after him. Again, verse 15. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And we know what happens then. He tells her. He loses his power. Look at this. the Spirit of the Lord was departed from him. And according to verse 21, look at this. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. How many of you have ever heard that sermon? Sin binds, sin blinds, sin grinds. It's right there. And of course, later on, his hair grew back. And in verse 28, we read this. Samson called on the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. Strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged in the of the Philistines for my two eyes. Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and one was on the right hand, the other on his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines, and he bowed himself with all his might. The house fell upon the lords and upon all his people that were therein, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which slew in his life. You know, once again, can we lose our salvation? No. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. But again, are we quenching? Now, stop. I'm almost done. But I'd like for us to think about this. When it comes to the Holy Spirit in our lives, and I wonder, do we really see it as being important? When it comes to the Holy Spirit in our lives, have we ever stopped to consider, what is it, Lord, that keeps you from working in my life? Well, there's pride. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's also a careless view of our sin. Romans 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Is there ever a time when you wake up and you're tempted to do something, you go, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to think that thought. I'm not going to do that act. I'm not going to watch that filthy show. I'm not going to listen to that wretched music. I'm not going to do that. I am indwelled by the Holy Spirit. I do not quench the Spirit. It broke my heart for a family member, not near, but a distant family member, to put something on them this last week that is a symbol of a wicked group that is definitely not of the Lord. That breaks my heart. But then I've done that to myself. And you have too, because you deal with the same temptations. And there's times they get to us. And now here we are in 2018, and we ought to be mature enough where we're going, you know what? No more. No, there's not that much time left. There's too much to learn. Quench not the Spirit. There's pride. There's a careless view of our sin. There's also a careless view of our calling. And this is what I believe winds up happening to us. It's the same thing that happened to Samson. Samson was singled out by God. This is what you're going to do. You're going to judge the enemies of Israel. And instead, he wound up time and again with the wicked, a harlot, a harlot, a harlot. I mentioned the soccer team. And I don't know what all took place, why, what they did. If you have seen the picture, the sketch of the cave that they went into, I'm thinking, what in the world did he do taking them in? I mean, there were places, it was obvious. And I don't know, I'm not blaming him. Lord knows he's been through enough. But there was a carelessness, I believe, that got him to take those young people, ages 11 to 16, all the way back 2-point-some-odd miles into that cave, and now they're trapped. Places where there's a Thai Navy SEAL that has died trying to get oxygen to them. There are places where you have to have equipment to really crawl down into. They found that trying to get these men in to rescue them, they're going into the water with their tanks. They actually have to take their tanks off. It's that tight. While they're using to breathe in, to breathe with them to get through that water, they're trying to pump the water out as quickly as they can. My soul, what in the world are you doing with kids back there? That's carelessness. You know, we dealt with a lot of people this last week. I don't know about you, but I can think of people right now that I saw, I talked to. And I'm thinking now, you know, I could have taken the time. Praise God, did with some, but not with all. Is there anybody that you can think of that maybe you should have spoken to, even given a gospel tract with the gospel in it? Quench not the Spirit. There's a fire that's burning. The Holy Spirit is in your heart and has a desire to do a work. Now, can I ask you, do you have a desire to give way to His desire? Let me say that one more time. Do you have a desire to give way to His desire? If that Holy Spirit is in you, and sometime this week, the Holy Spirit says, go this way, and you say, I'd really rather go that way. What are you going to do? And when we think about the people that we hope and pray are going to be here this next week, to hear the gospel, you stop and think about this. There's going to be some people out there that are trapped in sin. By the way, there can be people in here that are trapped in their sin. We find that out especially in the RU program. Amen, guys? Ladies? Someone out there might hear the gospel for the first time, but there might be someone that hears the gospel for the last time. Is there someone in here praying for a lost soul? There are. Is there someone out there, and maybe even in here, that are ready to give up? You see, this is what it's all about. The gospel being preached. The promises of God being presented. And what do? Everyone needs the Lord. Everyone needs His faithful work. Every Christian needs to quench not the Spirit. Amen?